And I want to say, 4 weeks from today, we're going to have some missionaries that we've been supporting for many years. They're going to be with us. Mike and Vicky Reinen is their name. They've been missionaries in Africa for a long, long time. They have since moved back to Indianapolis and only go periodically back and forth to Africa. They will be here 4 weeks from today, and they have sent a little greeting, so we're going to watch that video greeting from Mike and Vicky now. Let's go ahead and watch that.
Hello, friends and partners in ministry. It's a great pleasure for Vicky and me to be announcing to you today the opening of the Wesley Missionary Institute in Togo. We've been waiting for that and praying for that for several years. And toward the end of last year, we determined with our colleagues working on that the time had come that this place needs to open in January. And so we continued praying for that. And the Lord provided in the weeks leading up to our opening in such a way that 9 of our 10 scholarships are funded. We have now 11 students, and those students came together. It's so exciting to get the news of them traveling from 5 different West African countries to Togo. And the last one is actually traveling today as we give you this report from Cameroon to Togo. And so it's just exciting that this school that is training and preparing African missionaries for work in the African context is now open. So thank you for your prayers for that. And Vicky, what do you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I'd like to give a brief update on Tumaini Women Kenya. Just a reminder that Tumaini is a Swahili word for meaning hope. And it's the goal of TWK to be able to give hope to the women. We currently have about 400 members involved in TWK throughout Kenya. And as you can imagine, 2020 was a very difficult year for them. None of the groups were able to meet for a number of months. But still, TWK was able to do a relief distribution, providing food and different types of cleaning supplies and health supplies to the women. In addition, we were able to have some emergency funds available for those who, because of losing their job or not being able to work, had difficulty paying their rent and buying food and needing medicines, things like that. So thankfully, the groups are meeting again. And, you know, our hope with TWK is to provide the women with a place where they can encourage one another, have access to small loans, disciple, fellowship together. And we're thankful that the groups are meeting again. We're looking forward to a great year. I'd like to share a little testimony from one of our group members from last year in relation to the difficulties they passed through last year. She shared with us Isaiah 43:2. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. The COVID-19 pandemic became the deep waters that TWK needed to navigate, swim through, and emerge stronger on the other side. We would never have managed to wade through 2020 without God's presence with us. Our friends held our hands, and together we held God's hand. Today, we are, because God is with us in the deep waters. We're thankful that TWK was able to provide that kind of support for our members during the difficult time.
And Vicky, I think you're hoping to plan a trip in May, if everything works out
right. I was able to be there in October, and yeah, planning for May into May and June. We'll be there again with them as well.
Okay, and middle of this month, February, Lord willing, I'm making a trip to Togo and Liberia. And so we'd be glad for your prayers as we work on those plans, and we'll keep you posted after that on what news we may have to share.
When we're not traveling, we're doing partnership building here in the U.S. as well as advocating for various ministries happening throughout Africa with the Free Methodist Church.
Right. Thank you for your partnership, and thank you again for receiving this report. God bless you.
Mike and Vicky will be with us 4 weeks from today, the Lord willing, and the weather permitting. Let's pray. I do want to mention to you before we pray, in the prayer focus, there are a lot of names. Some of those are new. Pastor Charles mentioned there's new names that are in care centers. Obviously, our communities have had loss of life again this last week. And so cancers, COVID, one of our co-laborers in our community here, as their church shut down again for a couple of weeks because of COVID again. So there's a lot of things to pray for. And just want to point out to you the prayer focus has a lot of names, and just want to remind you of that. Let's pray before we go any further. God, our Father, thank you that we can come together and worship like this. Thank you that you have granted us safety this morning in coming. We do realize, because we have heard from our own, there are people with struggles this morning. Frozen water pipes, cars that won't start. And then there are those that have lost their loved ones. There are those that are battling cancer, and cancer has come back in some cases. There are those that are still battling COVID and the effects of that virus. And so, Lord, we just pray for all those on our prayer focus this morning and ask that your will would be done. We do pray that you'd keep people safe in this cold. We do ask that you would guide our nation. And so as we have come this morning to worship you, thank you again for a warm place, for safety. Please be with all of those that couldn't come, maybe wanted to. We just ask that you would watch over them in a special way and all the other churches that are gathering also. Guide us by your Spirit. Speak to us from your word. Help us to be attentive and help us to understand your word afresh and anew all over again. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I wanted to go back and revisit some, not so much that we've touched on this yet, but I wanted to go back and talk further about some of the events of the end. We've been talking about the second advent of the Lord Jesus. We've been talking about his return ever since before we celebrated the first advent in December. And there's just so much to talk about in that. And so I want to go ahead and bring up that slide first and just remind us a little bit of the conversation we had about a month ago. And then I want to move into the topic of the rapture today. And so as you can see, I made this little slide just for our, just a little clear understanding, I hope. We've been talking about signs, lots of signs. Matthew talks about it. Paul talks about it in the letter to 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy. And then we talked a little bit about the restrainer being removed. I'm not going to elaborate on that today. That's mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And according to some that study this a lot, they would say the rapture of the church and the restrainer being removed would be simultaneous. In other words, pretty much about the same event. We're going to talk about the rapture today. That's listed. Paul talks about that in a couple places. Excuse me. And then, as I spelled out before, the Bible talks about the man of lawlessness being revealed. And as that happens, we enter into that seven-year tribulation time. Revelation 6 through 19 speaks in great detail to that. And of course, the second coming, the second advent of Jesus to establish his earthly kingdom. All of that happens. I mean, the signs, they take a little more time, but once we get to that point we're going to talk about today, when the trumpet of God sounds, everything happens in very rapid succession then. And so we're going to talk about the rapture today because a couple of reasons. Over the course of this series, I've had people say to me, and I'm glad they said this, Jim, the Bible doesn't use the word rapture. So where do you get it? What does it mean? Where does it come from? I'm glad people said that, so I could drill down and help us see a little bit more from Scripture what that means and where it comes from. And so, if you've got your Bible, we are going to be in 1 Thessalonians today, specifically chapter 4 and the verses 13 to 17. We are going to be talking about the rapture. Now, the rapture, as I said, is not used there, but I will try to explain where we draw that from. So I'm going to read through these five verses, then I'm going to come back and we're going to take them apart a little at a time, and hopefully we can understand what Paul is talking about here. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Let me just take this a verse at a time now and break it down, and then when I get done with these five verses, I will pull in another piece of Scripture that Paul refers to in the letter to Corinthians, and hopefully we will have a clearer understanding of the rapture in just a few minutes when I've elaborated on these Scriptures a little bit. Okay, back to verse 13. When he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant," he's saying, "I don't want you to be unaware of the fact concerning those that have died." When he says fallen asleep, he's talking about physically died. The Bible uses that in different places. I could talk more about that terminology, but I don't think I need to. I do want to say this from 2 Corinthians 5:8. I misspoke earlier in the earlier service. 2 Corinthians 5:8, remember the Apostle Paul when he said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We remember that. So now he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "I don't want you to be unaware of the fact." And he says, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Falling asleep means died. No hope means died without Christ. Still with me? He says, "I don't want you to be unaware of that and feeling like that you have no hope because they've died. Those that have died outside of Christ have no hope." That's a very serious matter. I mentioned this earlier service. There's been tragedy in our state in a multitude of times. Some of it has struck very close to home. You all by now have heard about the Buffalo shooting at the clinic in Buffalo. One of the victims that was shot was my son-in-law's aunt. She is alive. She's had numerous surgeries. But another of her coworkers is not alive. She has died. The other day I got a call, Sherry got a call from a lady that's been here to worship with us very often, and then I got a call the same night from her sister, who's part of another church but been here to worship with us very often. Their only brother, their brother, who I graduated with, his only son fell on his construction job and died instantly. He's 34 years old. After the first service, somebody was telling me that a young lady, 36 years old, was very sick. I don't know all the details, but anyway, before morning, she was dead. Here's my point. We will die. Unless Jesus returns, we will die physically. If we die having never put our faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ, been born again, Jesus calls that, become that new creation, if we die having never got to that point, we are in the category that Paul is talking about, those that have no hope. That's a very serious matter. Because, friends, we are not just living the few years we are here on earth. We are eternal. And when he talks about this group of people having no hope, that means eternally. That's a very serious matter. We die outside of Christ, suddenly or old age or whatever else. We haven't got any hope for all of eternity. And he's saying to the believers, I don't want you to be unaware, he uses the word ignorant, concerning those who have died and sorrow like those who have no hope. Why would he say that? Because those that have died in Christ have a hope. That's good news. Is it not, brothers and sisters? We have a hope. I've been in the ministry full-time for 15 years, and I've done well over 200 funerals. And I try at every one to talk about the reality of death and eternity and the hope that we can have in Jesus. I try to tell every single time we're together for a funeral, there's more. There's more than this life right here and now. And even though, yes, we're going to die, unless Jesus comes and raptures us, we will physically die. But in Christ, we have a hope. To me, brothers, that it's all the difference in the world. Will we grieve when we lose others? Of course. But we have a hope that is eternal. That's what he's talking about. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God, now note what he says here. I've talked to several people in the last few days, including between our services here. This is new to people, and I know it's not new to everybody, but bear with me and forgive me if it's old to you, but it's new to some people. Look at what he says. The Apostle Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. He will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. What does that mean? Let me share with you from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I think that's as simple as I can put it. And I quote, Paul said that the souls of believers who have died will return with Christ when he comes for his living saints. This prophecy of the rapture is as sure to be fulfilled as the prophecies of Christ's death and resurrection. See what Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica? I said earlier, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is our spirit. I don't have time to elaborate today on the spirit and the body, but I'm going to try to tell you this much. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is our spirit. And when Jesus comes back, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those that have died before us. And should he come back tonight, they will be accompanying him. I hope that's palatable. I hope you can understand what he's saying. Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive," okay, he's going to come back, and according to 14, he's going to have with him those who sleep in Jesus. Then he says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean? Not only will the souls of the dead in Christ return with him, we just saw that in verse 14, but their bodies will also be resurrected at his coming. The bodies of the dead Christians will be resurrected immediately before the living Christians are conveyed upward in the clouds to be with Jesus, where he is with the souls of those he brought back with. Now in 16 and 17, I think it's kind of a pulling it all together. Here's what he said. There's going to come a time when the trumpet of God is going to sound. There's going to come a time, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. He will not at that point come all the way to earth. He will be in the clouds. He will come from heaven, be in the clouds, and he will call forth the dead that were in the ground, that were in the sea, that were ever. They will be reconnected with their souls who has come back with him. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Pop up that last slide, please. I've made another little slide for us, kind of trying to put it all together per what Paul is saying here to the church at Thessalonica. We see in verse 16, the Lord Jesus will descend with a shout and a trumpet blast. We got that, okay? We got that figured out, right, brothers and sisters? Verse 14 said, when he comes with that trumpet blast, he will have with him those souls, the souls of those who have previously died. Those souls, now according to what he just said, again in 16, will be reunited with their bodies, all of this in a split second of time. The trumpet of God sounds. Jesus is there in the clouds. He's brought back with him the souls of those that already departed. And he calls forth the bodies out of the grave to be reconnected with their soul. At that same instant, he said in the last verse, those who are still alive, this is the live in Christ, because the earth will still be full of people. Those who are still alive when Jesus returns will be caught up. Will be caught up together with them. This caught up is where we get the word rapture. Caught up in the Greek is harpazo, meaning, as you see there, to seize, to catch away, to catch up, to pull, to pluck, to take. That's where we get the word rapture. Now, I want to just ask you, does this make sense? Is this making sense to us? I share this because we've been talking about the second advent of Christ. We've been talking about the signs. The rapture is part of this event, the end. And I realize that some might say, well, what difference does it make, Jim? I would simply say what I've been saying throughout the duration of this series. We need to be ready for the rapture. I've just explained to us how tragedy can happen at a moment's notice. Shootings, car accidents, construction accidents, COVID, and 100 other ways, and life can be over. We understand that. I know we do. But when we think about, when people would say to me, well, what difference does it make? Friends, the rapture, when we look at the Word of God, and I'm not an expert on the end times like a lot of people are, but I've studied, I've learned, and I've learned from them, I've learned from the Bible. There's not much left to happen before he's going to rapture out the church. As a matter of fact, some would say there's not anything left to be fulfilled. Nothing. And so if that is the case, and I think it is, I think we're very, very near, the rapture could happen at any moment. And if the rapture is going to happen or could happen at any moment, would it not behoove us to be ready today? Death can happen. Tragedy can happen. Accidents can happen. And if we die outside of having surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we are in that group that Paul talks about that has no hope. They have no hope. So I talk about this today because we need to be ready for the rapture. It could happen at any moment. Or if our life was over at any moment, if we're not right with Jesus, it's eternally too late. Now I want to weave together for just a few minutes before I close 1 Corinthians 15. Couple three verses there, Paul is talking about the same subject to a different church, a different set of people. But I want to see the beauty of the tapestry here being weaved together by God's Spirit through Paul when he's writing to these churches. Okay, those words we looked at were the church of Thessalonica. We call the book Thessalonians. This one we call Corinthians. He was writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Here's what he said. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. I think we understand that, do we not? This body is not going to be part of God's kingdom. Jesus had a transformed body. We will too. And so Paul is saying, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. And then he says further, behold, this is verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. He's referring back now again to what he was referring to the church of Thessalonica. The trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And those of us that remain, he said, shall be caught up, rapture, harpazo, caught up with them in the air. This is what he's talking about here. We're not all going to sleep. There's 7 billion people on earth right now. So there's going to be people alive and well when he comes back. And Paul describes that phenomenon. He said, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. Some people will not have died when the trumpet of God sounds and the Lord returns. They're going to be very, very much alive. That's what he's talking. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Remember what he said in the first part of that verse. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. We shall be changed. And then he says, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, he's talking about those alive in Christ, we shall be changed. I say hallelujah. Especially the way I've been feeling some lately. I say hallelujah. There's a couple more verses. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to say this. I didn't have time enough. I'm going to say this to close this morning. I simply wanted to go over this today to show us rapture. Rapture. Harpazo. Caught up. Now let me say this. I had this conversation with a couple people in the foyer between services. Let me say this. Some would say the rapture will happen before the tribulation. That's what I've just spelled out. Some would say the rapture is going to happen midway through the seven-year tribulation. Some would say that the church will go through the tribulation and then be raptured out. The way I see Scripture, and many, many others, is the way I spelled out to you today. One of the verses that we use is Revelation 3 and 10 to conclude we don't think the church will go through the tribulation, because Jesus told John to write to the church at Philadelphia. He said this, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. We think that is a verse, yes, it's to the church of Philadelphia, but we think also in reference to the church not going through the seven-year trial and tribulation. Here's the point. Let me wrap it up with this. If we should die, friends, and I know this group is very small today, and I know, like I said to the first service, I'm speaking to the choir, I know that. But in case you want to help understand the rapture and help somebody else understand, if we should die having never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, we will not be part of that resurrection he's talking about here. We're not going to be part of that. If we should die apart from Christ, we will not be part of the resurrection of the dead he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 when he said, the dead in Christ shall rise. Are you still with me? We won't be part of that. And that's an eternal tragedy, because the resurrection that we will be part of is described in Revelation 20. And that resurrection will only be resurrected to stand before the judgment seat of God. And the Bible says quite clearly in Revelation 20, 11 through 14, And the dead were judged. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. If we die outside of Christ, we will be resurrected in that point to stand before God, only to be cast into the lake of fire. If he returns, if the trumpet should go off tonight, and God the Father says to God the Son, it's time, bridegroom, go get your bride. And we have not put our faith in Christ. We are not living for the Lord. We're going to miss that flight. That's the seriousness of the rapture. And so I just wanted to understand. Charles said this in his prayer in closing in the first service. These events are already in place. They're happening. The signs of the end are happening. And when that trumpet of God sounds, there's no time then to pack your bags. It will happen in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the Bible says. There isn't time then to decide about Jesus. There isn't time then. We need to have decided now. And when the rapture comes, we're on our way. Amen? That's good news. That's good news. The relevance of this message today, friends, what difference does it make? We need to be ready for the rapture. We need to be ready for accidental or natural death. We need to have trusted completely in Christ to know that we will be with Him forever. Let's sing that last song to close, and then Pastor Charles will close us in prayer.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, righteous King, we praise you and thank you for this wonderful moment to remember once again your plan for your kingdom, that it includes us if we are willing to make that choice of your Son, Jesus. So, Father, as we leave here today, that we will remember once again that we are Advent people, sober, and we are living in expectation of your coming kingdom. So, Father, if we are still wavering, this is a great week, Father, as we remember our human sinfulness. Wednesday begins the season of Lent. Help us to remember yet again, beyond Advent people, that we are from dust and will again return to dust. Help us to fathom our mortality, that we must make that choice before the events happen to make the choice for us. Help us, Father, to live once again alive in Christ and to share the good news with others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.